You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, some stores are staying closed on the Thanksgiving holiday instead of opening up at night for early Black Friday shopping. We'll find out what you think about the holiday shopping scene.
First, the election of Donald Trump to the nation's highest office has many analysts and citizens trying to figure out what kind of president he'll be on a certain issue or how he'll treat certain groups of people, including the Black Lives Matter movement.
What started as a small protest in 2013 after George Zimmerman's acquittal for the shooting death of Trayvon Martin, it's steadily been building steam across the country in recent years as more high-profile cases of violence against African Americans have been made public. But with the election of Donald Trump, who once suggested that a Black Lives Matter protester should have been roughed up at one of his rallies, there are questions about the movement's future, where they go from here, and the fear of retaliation from the nation's highest office.
Chad Dion Lassiter joins us now to break down some of these questions. He's president of Black Men at Penn and a professor of race at the University of Pennsylvania. Chad, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
So first off, what kind of impact do you think the election of Donald Trump will have on the Black Lives Matter movement in America?
I think it's going to have a very divisive impact because of the racial rhetoric that then-candidate Donald Trump was displaying with. And a leopard doesn't change his spots overnight. And so some of the xenophobic, some of the homophobic, some of the white supremacist ideology that he spewed as running for a candidate, I don't think that just changes because he becomes a president-elect. I think we're going to see some challenges even more so as it relates to the stop-and-frisk policies and several other policies.
Looking at what we have seen so far in some places, no means by all places, but some hate crimes reported in the country, do you read anything into that or do you say this is a time of transition?
No, it's beyond a time of transition. This is a very dark period in our democracy. The Southern Law Poverty Center reported 200-plus incidents with regards to hate crimes, anti-Semitism, with regards to what's happening with Islamophobia. And so this is not a transition time. This is a very dark time. And the election of Donald Trump is not just inclusive to the Black Lives Matter movement, because we've seen people all over the United States of America march in protest to him being the president-elect.
Do you think that means that the Black Lives Matter movement now has maybe more allies than it did earlier?
It could have the potential of having allies. As a social scientist, I'm not so certain that they didn't have allies before, because the media elites tried to divide the country. And so we know that a lot of marches around the country with regards to Black Lives Matter have had white allies and Asian allies. We know that as far as away as China and Japan, there are people who are holding signs Black Lives Matter. I think what we need to continue to do is show the benefits of everyone seeing everyone's humanity, but specifically in this period of time, Black lives certainly do matter.
I think you just used the phrase media elites, if I heard you correctly. I wonder if you could talk a little more about what you mean by that, about, I believe you said, try to divide or make the movement look more divided than it was. Explain, if you would, what you mean by that.
Well, what I mean by the media elites is that the media constructs the context. They write the script, they write the narrative, they keep the country divided, race sells, violence sells. So one would think that there are not white people who are protesting Black Lives Matter as well. You would think that, you know, it's just African Americans. You have whites who are wearing shirts that say Black Lives Matter. I'm a professor at Westchester University. I teach race relation courses for social work students, and the majority of my students are white. And they are deeply concerned about the anthology of police brutality. You have students who are walking out who are white students in places like Seattle, at Cal Berkeley. And so the media elites want us to think that there's more division than there's more unity. And so with everything that's going on with Donald Trump, humanity of all colors are saying we're going to speak back to, you know, some of this rhetoric, some of this racially tinged comments that he's made. And that's what I mean by the media elites. They profit off of humanity not coming together as a human race. And so, yes, we have black, we have white, we have Latino, we have Asian American, Pacific Islander. At the end of the day, we're all humans.
Talking about using a critique of the media, using the phrase media elites, has been something that the Trump campaign has also been known for. So is that something that Black Lives Matter movement has common ground with, is do you think there does need to be some sort of critical overhaul of the press and the way it functions?
I think, yes, it does need to be an overhaul of the press. I think that when President-elect Trump was running, you had Fox News that was supporting him, but then you had MSNBC and CNN providing strong critiques and condemnation. Much of it was warranted because of some of the things that he actually was spewing out. But then you had Fox News who were really castigating and really critiquing Hillary Clinton, but then at times CNN and MSNBC did not hold her with the same critique. I think it's the same thing that we see with Black Lives Matter. If you look at Fox News, you would think that Black Lives Matter is a radical group. Black Lives Matter is not a radical group. Looking at things historically, the Black Panthers celebrating their 50th year anniversary this year was not a black radical group. It was a group that was organized in defense of white supremacy. And certainly we don't want police officers being killed in our democracy, but those individuals that are killing them are not members of Black Lives Matter. Those are individuals who have joined Black Lives Matter because they have some sort of angst, so they show up at the rallies. One of the things we do know is that the Ku Klux Klan is real in the United States. The Ku Klux Klan oftentimes hide behind their sheets, but during the day, we know the data speaks to some of them are our doctors, our lawyers, some of them are our judges, some of them are our police officers.
We're talking right now with Chad Dion Lassiter. He's president of Black Men at Penn and a professor of race at the University of Pennsylvania, talking about the future of the Black Lives Matter movement in an era of a Trump presidency. And Chad, one of the founders of Black Lives Matter, Patrice Cullors, wrote an opinion piece in The Guardian last week, and in it, she calls on Black Lives Matter supporters to organize, and she says, and this is a quote, "It's time to start building real political power." What might that power look like?
I don't know the Black Lives Matter agenda as it relates to that. For me, it looks like joining local elections, and it means joining potential national elections, federal elections as well. It means sitting within the seats of power, maybe in the head of a nonprofit, as Trump talks about getting rid of Medicaid and Medicare, rolling back the clock on parent planninghood and things of that nature. I would like to see members of Black Lives Matter be part of legislation, be part of policy, be part of crafting policy that's going to not just advantage African Americans, but going to advantage people who are disenfranchised. There are a lot of whites who are disenfranchised as well, even though the data speaks to a lot of them voted against their entrance to maintain the status quo of white supremacy and white male dominance in the person of Donald Trump. And so I see that as something where crafting a political agenda puts them in a place where they can look at things from a policy perspective and they can actually enact policy. So when we have stop and frisk, we need to have community policing. Where we have racism and spatial segregation in housing, we can have people who are in those agencies that can speak back to those forms of discrimination, so forth and so on, is the way that I see it developing.
Do you see any comparison to the Tea Party, which it started as a protest movement and then it became this full-scale political movement putting up political candidates? Do you see the Black Lives Matter movement moving maybe in that direction?
I'm not certain if it's going to move in that direction. I don't see similarities. Being from Philadelphia and traveling the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, I went to a lot of the Tea Party rallies in Ohio, Indiana, as well as in parts of eastern and western Pennsylvania. And what you saw with the Tea Party was just this aspect of let's take our country back, this aspect of American exceptionalism, this aspect of scapegoat hypothesis. The reason why we're out of our job is because of those blacks or because of those Mexicans. The Black Lives Matter was speaking back to the suffering of the anthology of police brutality. If there was a similarity, it's both the Tea Party and the Black Lives Matter are using agency, which is voice, to speak back to the way they may have viewed their oppression and their marginalization. Tea Party rallies, to me, have been, really, really violent, the ones that I've gone to, not towards me, but the rhetoric has been violent. People have carried weapons, guns, open carry. At Black Lives Matter, I've seen humanity come together, and they have said, let's speak back to what's going on. Let's hold the state accountable. It was created in defense of blacks being killed by the state with impunity.
Now, Donald Trump's victory was described as a white lash by CNN analyst Van Jones. This is the idea that whites in America were pushing back against a changing country. And going forward, What would your advice be to white allies who support the Black Lives Matter movement?
I would say just to stay the course. Van Jones is absolutely right. It was about the white male dominance being threatened, the ever-changing demographics in our democracy, and it was the last fight for white male dominance, white supremacy, and white privilege. For our white colleagues, no one is saying that you should give up your privilege. Use your privilege, leverage your privilege to help those, like those in the Black Lives Matter movement, those who are being discriminated against because of transphobia, homophobia, xenophobia, Islamophobia. I would tell them to stay dedicated, stay focused. Don't let the media elites, don't let anyone divide them, that the mission of just highlighting Black humanity and that Black humanity is worth saving, similar to what Martin Luther King did along with his Jewish and white colleagues, it's really essential. So that would be my message to white allies who want to figure out how we can make the society more tolerant for all, but specifically because of the killing of Black lives with impunity by the state.
There's been a lot of talk, especially this week, about Donald Trump's cabinet appointments. Some people concerned with the appointment of Steve Bannon from Breitbart, saying some people saying this puts a white supremacist in the White House, other people taking a different point of view. But what do you say about that and what it could mean?
I think that we should be really concerned with everything that Donald Trump does. The assertion that he's part of the alt-right, the assertion that he's a white supremacist against the counter-narrative that he's not, he's just a white supremacist sympathizer, empathizer, I think we should be very concerned. We're heading into a dark time in our democracy. When we have a person like Hillary Clinton who has 30 years of experience, who's astute, who's a policy wonk, no matter our criticisms, we didn't vote for her. We voted for a reality television star who's a cult figure who said any and everything to get elected. And then he looks into the camera on 60 Minutes with regards to white supremacist behavior in the country, and he says, stop it. It needs to be more of an analysis other than just, you know, a proclamation of stop it. You know, it needs to be a clarion call to develop an office around anti-racism in the United States. And so I'm very concerned about that appointment. I'm concerned about the potential of an emerging appointment for Giuliani, no matter if it's Secretary of State and or Attorney General. It's really a challenging time, and we're suffering right now from a post-election stress disorder.
You said several times that we're heading into a dark time, that this is not an ordinary transition. So as president of Black Men at Penn, as someone who looks at Black Lives Matter, how should that dark time be answered?
Well, for me, it's just continue to stay ever vigilant on attempting to uproot American racism, dismantle American racism, building allies on every side of the color line, training my students to be tolerant, to not look at the racism that happens in America per se, but to be both and look at the racism that they sometimes display with, to work with my African-American colleagues to recognize that they can't buy into their own victimization, that institutional racism does exist. It's prejudice plus power, but at the end of the day, we have to be able to not move beyond it, but to be able to address it and to prove ourselves to be resilient and to be tolerant. And so for me, it's a lot of self-introspection. But with regards to Black Lives Matter, I think that that's one organization. There are multiple organizations that we can build coalitions with. The ACLU, some of our Jewish colleagues are willing to say, let's speak back to all the isms that happen, because even though Black people are being killed with impunity by the state, there's also anti-Semitism that goes unchecked in our democracy as well. And so when I mean that it's a dark time because we continue to sweep a lot of these isms under the rug, and Donald Trump has brought out that dark side. He didn't create it, but he stoked the flames.
Chad, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Chad Dion Lassiter, president of Black Men at Penn and a professor of race at the University of Pennsylvania. He joined us to talk about the future of the Black Lives Matter movement under a Trump administration.